Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kevin Brady. I want to thank you for being part of this conference call at, I think, a critical time in our country's future. I'm joined with colleagues from the House, Congressman Ted Poe, Congressman Pete Olson, Congressman Blake Farenthold, Congressman Bill Flores, and Congressman Randy Weber. Let me give my opening remarks, and then we will go in that order. You know, this is a very serious matter. We understand the impact of a temporary shutdown. We believe the sooner this is resolved, the better. That's why House Republicans have passed legislation that basically says, let's talk. Let's sit down at the table, let's negotiate, and because it's important we find a good, solid solution sooner rather than later. I'm encouraged with the news today that Republicans have succeeded in forcing the president to the negotiating table where he could have avoided the shutdown long ago. I think this is important for middle-class Texans because the president can repeal the special treatment that he gave to members of Congress that Senate Democrats are fighting so hard to protect for themselves. And they're protecting their privileges really at the cost of the American people. I think it's important for the president, be at the negotiating table, because just as he gave a one-year waiver for businesses from Obamacare, he can extend a waiver to workers as well. We think it's critical that while those who are politically connected seem to receive waiver after waiver after waiver from this White House, you know, middle-class families, well, they're treated differently. And we think everyone should be treated fairly. So the president can, I think, work around the Senate Democrats who have refused to budge. This president can help Republicans reopen this government. We're ready to negotiate. We've compromised on a number of pieces of legislation. Democrats in the Senate, unfortunately, have really slammed the door shut and locked it at this point. We think that's a mistake. So with that, I'd like to ask Congressman Ted Poe for his comments.
Thank you, Kevin. I'll just wait for questions. So thanks.
Great. Thank you, Congressman Olson.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you all for being on the phone call. Our government is shut down because of election year politics, pure and simple. Barack Obama and Harry Reid do not want to compromise on any issue except extending the government funding at the current levels. My former boss, Senator Phil Graham, said, facts are persistent things. If you have the facts, you win the battle. And Republicans have the facts in this battle. We have passed bills, four bills, to fully fund the federal government. Mr. Reid apparently thinks that's more important for him to be exempt from the health care provisions under Obamacare than to be in within those provisions. He voted against that, not voted. He didn't give us the privilege of having a vote in the United States Senate. The Democrats do not want to negotiate. They want to make this as painful as possible on the American people in the hopes of turning the House Democrat in 2014. We saw a great example of their policies right here in D.C. yesterday. World War II veterans who are dying in mass, almost 90 years old, came up to see their monument. They were blocked, had to push their wheelchairs through barricades to see their monument that was a tribute to their sacrifices and kept this world free. That's going to happen over and over and over. And finally, one comment, the president yesterday talked about this and said that we're trying to make sure that young Americans with cancer can't get treatment at the NIH. Well, today we're going to call his bluff. We'll introduce a bill on the floor I'm sure will pass that fully funds NIH for the next year. Mr. President, it's time to get serious and work out a compromise with the Congress and the American people. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Culberson has joined us as well. Congressman?
Kevin, thank you. We in the House have done our job in passing four appropriations bills. In fact, since early summer, we have fully funded the Department of Defense, the Veterans Affairs, Military Construction. We have funded Homeland Security. We've also funded Energy and Water, the Army Corps of Engineers. Those bills have been in the Senate since the beginning of the summer. So it's obvious the lack of action by the Senate, the fact that they will not negotiate with House Republicans, even talk to us. They've had these bills for over 90 days, that this is this government shutdown is a deliberate strategy by the Democrats to kick off the 2014 election, and is, I think, very disappointing and, frankly, juvenile of the Democrats and destructive for them to hold the country literally hostage in order to help themselves in the next election. It's far more important that the House and Senate get together in negotiations and find those areas of agreement that we can put behind us quickly, such as Veterans Affairs, such as the National Institute of Health, such as Homeland Security, law enforcement. The critical, essential areas of government are easy to fund and to do so immediately. And we're ready. We've appointed conferees. That's the way the process works. And the House, as Kevin has said, has already compromised multiple times. We've gotten zero compromise out of the Senate or the White House. It's just deeply disappointing and very destructive that our elected president and the elected Senate leadership would refuse to meet with the elected Republican leadership of the House or make any effort to negotiate or compromise. And I think it's also important to point out that all mandatory spending programs such as Social Security and Medicare will continue to operate. No one should be concerned for one moment that they're going to miss a Social Security check or a Medicare check. If you're currently enrolled in Social Security, if you're enrolled in Medicare, if you're receiving veterans benefits, those benefits will continue to flow because they're mandatory, they're automatic, and the programs are administered by people that are considered essential government personnel. So this government shutdown, I'm confident, will be of limited duration, and we're, as Republicans, focusing on funding the most essential parts of the government first in those areas that we can agree on, and let's just hope that the Senate and the White House fulfill their responsibility under the Constitution to negotiate.
Thank you, Congressman, very much. Congressman Farenthold?
Thank you very much. I just wanted to chime in here that I'm none too happy we're in a government shutdown, but I look back at how our system of government is set up. We've got two parties, we've got two chambers in Congress, and three branches of the government. Our founding fathers set it up where there was going to be a tension and conflict between the different parts of our government. But they also set it up where there was power in the minorities. For instance, the House was given the power of the purse, where all spending bills had to initiate in the House. And we've reached one of those leverage points now where, if you look back through history, when we've come to impasses like this, under President Reagan, under President Clinton, there's always been negotiation. And we're in a situation now where, up until today, all we've heard is Harry Reid's way or the highway, President Obama's way or the highway. The government shutdown is, however, we're starting to hear rumors of overtures coming out of the White House and of the Senate to start talking, which is the way it ought to be, the way our founding fathers intended it to be. And, you know, the House is ready, willing, and able to speak and negotiate. We've already appointed conferees. We're waiting for the Senate to appoint their negotiators to the conference committee, and we can start moving forward on solving this problem. But again, if you look back through history, you'll see that this my way or the highway just doesn't work in our government and is not what our founding fathers intended. So I think, you know, we've been pushed to a crisis here, but I think it's imperative that we stick to it, that we're not going to cave in. We're going to negotiate, and we're going to come up with a settlement where, you know, maybe neither side likes 100% of what they get or don't get, but it's something that both sides can live with. I mean, if you're having argument with your wife. The only way to resolve it is sit down and talk, and that's all we're asking right now of the Senate. Let's see what we can come together on. In the meantime, we've got a responsibility to mitigate the damage that this government shutdown is doing, and that's what we're doing yesterday and today as we pass bills to fund critical parts of the government, and we're ready to move forward. You know, we funded all of it, but Obamacare, that didn't work for them, but let's at least fund what's critical. Let's not have our veterans shut out of parks. Let's not have cancer patients not getting treatment. Let's not have our veterans who are already waiting too long to get their VA claims adjudicated wait any longer. And so I'll step off my soapbox and let the rest of the members on here speak and be happy to answer your questions when we're done.
Thank you. Congressman Flores?
Kevin, thanks for setting this up. I'll be brief. By the way, Blake, whenever I have a discussion with my wife, I just usually say, what do you need, and I'll give it to you. So, in any event, I don't think many folks in the media actually know what the latest is in terms of the differences of positions between what the Senate wants to do and what we in the House want to do. As most people know, we did make a hard run at trying to defund Obamacare. That didn't work. The Senate rejected that, so we made a second run at a one-year delay of all of Obamacare. That didn't work, so we backed up a little from that. And so this is where we are today, and the last two bills the Senate rejected are rejected on two because of two things. Both the House and Senate want to agree to full funding of the federal government at the same dollar level. What we want are two additional things that I would relate to fairness. The first one is, the president gave about $15 billion of benefits to corporate America by letting the employer mandate, or by pushing the employer mandate back for a year. And the reason he did that is because they didn't have the technology ready to do it. The law doesn't allow him to do it, but he did it. What we're seeing today is the technology is not ready for the individual mandate either. I mean, we've seen that the last 2 days. What we're proposing is to allow a one-year delay of the individual mandate. Now, it's important to know this doesn't shut down Obamacare. This doesn't shut down the exchanges. This doesn't shut down the ability of people to sign up for Obamacare. All it does is says that the federal government cannot compel people to become part, to be forced into Obamacare for a year. It gives them an additional year to line them up to be on the same playing field, the same fairness factor as corporate America. So that's one of the things we're asking for, which the Senate has rejected. So think about that. It's just to allow people to be on the same in the same position as corporations. The second thing we're asking for is that every member of Congress and the appointed and elected staff of the White House ought to be subject to the same laws that everybody else is. And so if Obamacare is good enough for America, we, as members of Congress and the president and the vice president and the appointed members of the executive branch, should be subject to it on the very same basis. In other words, no federal cost sharing, no federal subsidy or anything like that. That's the second thing we're asking for. That's only fair to the American people that their elected officers and their appointed officers, elected representatives, ought to be on the same basis as everybody else. So, again, these are two issues of fairness. This is not trying to shut down Obamacare or anything like that. I don't think a lot of people in the outside world really realize that's what the fight is about over these two issues. If we as Republicans do the right job of getting this out as a fairness issue, I think that Harry Reid's going to have a hard time defending himself by saying, you know, I'm justifying this because I want members of Congress of the White House to be treated better than Americans, than everyday real-world Americans, and that I believe that corporations should get the individual should get a one-year delay, but individuals should not. So with that, I'll yield and wait for questions.
Great. Thank you. Congressman Weber?
Thank you, Kevin, for setting it up. A lot has been said. I want to echo what Congressman Flores said about fair treatment for all. It is about fair treatment. The president has unilaterally delayed, as we all know, the employer mandate, which quite frankly disturbs me as a constitutional issue because you know, the line item veto I took government, I'm thinking that is applied before the bill is signed or in that process and not after the bill is signed. So I really think we have a constitutional crisis here where we have a president that's gone around the Congress in this particular regard, as well as now the Supreme Court with Eric Holder suing Texas, different issue. Reid and Obama need to negotiate for the American people. This is not about politics. They do need to come to the table. That's the way it's set up. I think Congressman Farenthold said that. The House holds the purse strings. They may not like it, but that is the way it is, to use the president's words. He needs to get over it and move on. Listen, I would argue that this shutdown of the government actually began in 2010. Here's what I mean by that. When they passed Obamacare without a single Republican vote, the economy began to grind slower and slower and slower. The recovery was just about ceased at that point. People quit hiring. People started putting people on, companies started putting people on 29, 30-hour jobs. People were promised they could keep their doctors. They found out that wasn't true. People found out they could keep their insurance plans. They found out that wasn't true. People said, well, were promised their insurance would go down. They found out that wasn't true. Many, many businesses begin to withdraw and withhold, and you can see the whole list. UPS has been out. You've got Delta Airlines has come out and said $100 million worth of cost. You've got IBM yesterday said they're going to take over 100,000 people off their health insurance rolls. All of these businesses begin to say we better adopt a wait-and-see attitude. And for all practical intents and purposes, Nancy Pelosi and company got to pass a bill to see what's in it. We are seeing the effects of what's in it. For the last 3 years, this economy has slowed to a screeching, grinding halt. The government was right in the midst of that. I would argue that when the Democrats passed that, over 61% of the American people's wishes 3 years ago, they began this government shutdown. I think it is time that the president and Harry Reid quit acting like children, quite frankly, refusing to talk. They don't get that privilege. They need to come to the table, and they need to make this work for American people. And I'll stop there.
Great. Thank you. With that, let us take questions from the media.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Please record your name clearly when prompted. To withdraw your request, press star, then two. Once again, please press star one. One moment.
Hey, Kevin?
Yes.
This is Ted again. I can't resist. I'll make a comment if I may.
Thank you.
Were you ready for questions at this time?
Why don't you wait one moment? Congressman Poe, I'd like to get his comments.
Thank you.
First of all, the bills we're going to vote on today have to do with funding VA, the National Parks, D.C., the National Guard and the Reserves, and the NIH. I'll be filing a bill later today to also fund crime victim services and law enforcement. The Obamacare, why it's such a crisis, why it's so important that we deal with this right now is it discriminates. It discriminates against those people who don't have special waivers, people who don't have special insight to the White House. That is a discriminatory bill. It discriminates against those people that don't have those special interest groups. And not only that, the 1,200 folks that got the waivers, that's not fair to people who don't get waivers. Second, the delay discriminates against individuals. It favors big business. It treats them better. And we just want individuals to be treated the same way. I personally don't think the president had the legal authority to just postpone a law because he wanted to based upon the influence of big business. So the 1,200 groups that got complete waivers, that's not fair. Everybody should be under it or nobody should be under it. Those are two things that I see why this is so important that we deal with this issue right now. I'm frustrated. My constituents are frustrated. I've been reading emails on the House floor of my constituents. One of them, because of this law, businesses are cutting back people, and they're not going to be full-time anymore. I have a single mom who now is part-time because the business can't afford insurance, so she doesn't have insurance. And now she has written me and told me that her son is going to have to go live with relatives because she cannot afford to take care of him in her home. So that's a real story about a person that wasn't treated like the 1,200 waivers. It's a single person. She wasn't treated like the big businesses that got a waiver. I'm through, Kevin. We can go to questions.
Great. Thank you, Congressman. Ma'am, we can take questions, please.
Thank you. Your first question is from Stuart Powell with the Houston Chronicle.
Good afternoon. Thank you for doing this. Ted Cruz has now proposed that Congress fund the NSA and other intelligence activities with special legislation such as that that's on the House floor today. Two questions. One, would you favor specific legislation to fund the intelligence community during the shutdown? And secondly, what impact has Cruz's leadership on these issues had on the debate?
You know, answering Stuart Powell, this is Kevin Brady. Let me address the first. You know, I think it's important that Republicans continue to fight to fund critical elements of this government. Our frustration, of course, is that Democrats have refused to work with us to fund these important programs. We'll continue again today to do that with, and we hope that we succeed. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to whether this president and our Senate Democrat colleagues put a higher priority on special privileges for them and the politically connected, or they're willing to open this government up for the American people. At the end of the day, this is really their choice.
Kevin, this is Blake Farenthold. I'd like to add a quick note to that as well. If you will remember, our starting point in these negotiations, the House passed a bill that funded the entire government except for Obamacare. So I think it would be very difficult to be opposed to funding any individual part of it except, you know, that doesn't include Obamacare. You know, we've moved away from that in our show of good faith and wanting to negotiate with the president and the Senate, but I don't think you'll find any opposition to or much opposition to funding most areas of government.
And remember also, Stuart, that the House passed those critical appropriations bills over 90 days ago. At the beginning of the summer, we fully funded the Pentagon. We fully funded the Department of Homeland Security. We fully funded the Department of Veterans Affairs and Military Construction. We've done our job in funding those most essential parts of the government and are ready to move forward with critical pieces of that now. The dilemma is, of course, that unfortunately the Democrats are more interested in the 2014 election and trying to make Republicans look bad than they are in doing the right thing for the country.
The other thing I would add, too, Stuart, is that I didn't say this earlier on, but if you go back historically for 30 years and the 17 shutdowns, you talk about what's going on in the House where the bills, where those spending bills emanate from. In the last 30 years, 17 shutdowns, 15 times the House was controlled by Democrats. It was done under both sets of presidents, of course, Republican and Democrat. 15 times they were controlled by Democrats. I don't recall, and they were all over budget issues, of course. I don't recall any of the presidents trying to accuse the House of trying to hold hostage the American people. They were just doing their job. And so I would add to Bill Flores' list, he said this is about fairness, fair treatment for all Americans. Then, of course, whether it's the employer mandate repeal for a delay for a year or the individual mandate delay for a year. And the third thing, it's about the House actually doing their job for the American people and the president and the Senate negotiating. That's all we're doing. We're doing our job. And yet they're trying to use a lot of demagoguery, a lot of partisanship, and trying to make us out to be the bad guys. I think the American people is going to see through that.
I'd like to add to Randy this, Bill Flores. Over the past few days, we've been called arsonist, anarchist, extremist, terrorist. We've been told we're running around with bombs strapped to our chest. And I remember when I was growing up, I was always taught that if somebody is calling you names, that means they've run out of substantive things to say. And so I just ask everybody, pay attention to the language that's being used. If they're calling us names, then what is it? What does that mean about the strength of their own position? Kevin, with that, I've got to jump off to go to another meeting, so I'm sorry I'm going to miss the rest of the question.
Congressman Olson would like to comment.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I mean, as my colleagues have said, none of us want to have a shutdown of the government. But this is about fairness. I'd like to tell you about that fairness back home. The people back home get it. I had a constituent call me up yesterday. He'd spent 4 hours cleaning out his desk. He'd been furloughed under the shutdown. He called me up to say, Congressman, stay strong. You're doing the right thing. And we are doing the right thing. Again, 4 times we passed bills to fund the government. 4 times we've been rejected. 4 times we tried to do things with Obamacare to make it less painful on the American economy and the quality of health care. 4 times we've been rejected. Yesterday, we got rejected for our parks and museums, the District of Columbia, and our veterans. And today, well, those three again, and NIH, and Guard and Reserves. And I hope that the Senate Democrats and House Democrats are listening to American people and will support these votes and get these things to the President's desk so you can hopefully sign them into law. But this is about fairness, and we're doing everything we can. We are being fair to the American people.
And, Stuart, on your second question, many House Republicans have been in this fight against Obamacare and for the middle class for 4 years. I appreciate the energy that Senator Cruz has brought to this issue. Today, the real question is one of special treatment, whether members of Congress have to live under the same laws as others, whether the political connected get waivers, but Joe Sixpack, a single mom in Texas, a worker in the Houston region, gets treated equally as that. That's the issue.
Your next question comes from Todd Gilman with the Dallas Morning News.
Thanks all of you for doing this. I'm sure it's an efficient use of your time and certainly of ours. And Mr. Brady, I want to follow up on that last answer because that was kind of my question too. I mean, there's all these allegations floating around that Cruz is effectively calling the shots in the House, and people have really been trying to make him a poster child for the shutdown. And I'm sure you've seen the names Ted Cruz Lemmings and Speaker Cruz and all that. How often do you all confer with Senator Cruz, and is that just I mean, I understand what you're saying, that you know, he's brought a lot of energy to it, but a lot of people perceive it's a lot more than just that, that he really is calling shots. Is there any truth to that, no truth to that?
My view, this is Kevin Brady, my view is the House is working hard to be united in ending these special privileges for a few, the special treatment for a few, and we're united in urging Democrats and the president to sit down and let's negotiate. Let's reopen this government. Let's have a nation where members of Congress live under the same rules, where average workers get the same waivers that the politically connected do.
And, Thomas, Pete, also might add, we have lunch with Ted every Thursday. Most Thursdays of the month, we have a lunch with Ted. So we talk to him at least once a week. He's got all of our phone lines, our direct numbers. And I see him every week on that plane flying up, that United flight coming out of Bush Air Continental Airport about 10 in the morning, flying up here in D.C. on Monday morning. So we're engaged with Ted over and over and over. I'm very proud of what he's doing.
And, Todd, this is Randy Weber. Let me echo those comments. I will say this. We do watch what Ted's doing over in the Senate, and we're behind him. You know, go fight that fight. Make that stand. Stand strong in the Senate. And I have to believe, and he's been encouraging us to do the same thing in the House, but two chambers. So I think we're on the same team. Well, I know we're on the same team. We're on the same wavelength. And so we're encouraging him in the Senate, and we're encouraged over here in the House.
Ted Cruz has done the country and the state of Texas a great service. But remember, this is bigger than Ted Cruz or any of us. We're Texans. We're representing our districts. Texans just want to be left alone to let Texans run Texas. So we don't want the federal government telling us to buy insurance or getting between us and our doctors. This is a fundamental rights issue of individual privacy. And I again think, as my colleagues do, that as a Texas senator, Ted Cruz has done the country and the state a great service, and we're all doing our best to represent our districts and our core values as Texans to just let Texans run Texas.
Well, we're glad Ted Cruz has joined. This is the other Ted, by the way. has joined the fight. This fight started long before the beginning of this year. And so now we're glad to see that the Senate has some energy and they're fighting the same fight. But this has been going on for a long time. I was the first one to introduce legislation, Todd, to defund Obamacare. So this is not a recent phenomenon, but we're glad we've got some support in the Senate.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Nate Brown with the Observer Newspapers, your line is open.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the congressmen for taking part in this phone call and for the job that y'all are doing. This question is mainly directed at Congressman Poe and Congressman Brady. What departments or businesses, institutions, et cetera, will be most affected in your respective districts, and what do your districts need to know going forward?
You know, there's been a lot of coverage about who are the essential workers and who are not within the federal government. One of the realities of a government shutdown is that it gives the president unlimited power to decide which workers get paid and which don't, which facilities, like World War II monuments, are barred from veterans and which are not. The second part of your question really goes to what our constituents should know. In my town hall by telephone last night, I heard from a single mom who was being forced out of her health care due to the Affordable Care Act. She does not want to be forced into it. I heard a father he and his daughter are losing their insurance at work, and they don't want to be forced into this. They're very angry about it, and they've urged us to change the direction of Washington. And so I think my constituents need to know we're going to fight to open this government, but we're going to fight to end the special privileges that members of Congress and big business get, that the average taxpayer, middle-class workers in 8th District don't get.
The specifically, it'll affect VA services. Each administrative agency has to furlough non-essential personnel, and we understand it's the VA is affected. That's why we're wanting to fund the VA and why we'll have legislation back on the floor again today to fully implement the VA, and also why I'm introducing legislation to help law enforcement, fund the law enforcement, federal law enforcement, plus victims groups. Those also are affected, and you ask in our district. I took a call from a DOJ employee in the district this morning who had to ask the bank to push back the mortgage due to a shutdown. So we want law enforcement, victims, veterans, and some of the other agencies, but you asked specifically what were affected. Those are affected in our district.
And if I could, this is John Culberson, be more specific, even add to what Ted Poe just said, that the only part of the VA that would be affected would be new claims for disabilities, folks who have not yet applied for disability benefits. We've already got a backlog of over 2 years. We in the House have fully funded the VA's request to hire enough disability claims handlers to take care of that backlog. So the legislation that we're going to consider later today or tomorrow will take care of any new applications for disability checks, make sure that 9/11 education benefits for veterans are fully paid. But the things that will continue, regardless of the shutdown, are the essential mandatory functions of government. And it's important for your readers to know that if they're on Social Security, they won't miss a check. That's automatic, essential, mandatory. Social Security money will continue to flow. Medicare continues to flow because that's automatic and mandatory. Those employees are essential. The VA hospitals will continue to operate because they're funded a year in advance. So we are, as Republicans representing our districts, representing the state of Texas, standing on core principle and doing our very best to make sure that we fund the most essential parts of government first, and that's why we're bringing these series of bills to the floor.
Hey, Nate.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Randy Weber. I think you ought to be asking the question of the president, is his golf caddy an essential employee?
Yeah, right. I don't believe he's missed a golf game yet. That's a good point, Grady.
Your next question comes from James Ridgway with the Courier of Montgomery County.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for doing this call. Congressman Brady, approximately how many of your constituents would you say are currently furloughed due to this government shutdown? If we had to put a number on it for the non-essential services.
Yeah, it's the White House hasn't sent us those numbers. Our frustration, I think, is the way the priorities are being set. In this, I think, like sequestration, I worry the White House may at some point try to inflict more pain on the American public as a result of this temporary shutdown. But I think that with the president now agreeing to sit down, we have a chance to reopen this government, but do it in a way where, you know, we don't have these special protections for a few, and I think that's an important part of this whole discussion.
More than 100, less than 100, just here in your district?
Yeah, James, the White House hasn't provided those numbers.
All right, and just a quick sidebar, what does the GOP have to negotiate with going forward on this? How long will the GOP hold out? I mean, where do you... What do you bring to the table if they just say no to what you're asking for?
You know, James, this is not an issue of time. It's an issue of special treatment for some. And the sooner we can eliminate that for members of Congress under Obamacare and for provide equal treatment to workers, such as the waiver the president gave to the business, the sooner we can reopen this government.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Christy Nix, Houston Community Newspapers.
Hi. My question is, I'd like to know about the shutdown's effects on NASA, about how many workers were furloughed, if you can talk about that a little bit.
Hey, Christy, this is Pete Olson. Just to echo Kevin's comments, I have not been given that information from the administration, so I'd just be speculating. Obviously, in Texas 22, with the new maps, I no longer have the Johnson Space Center, but still a lot of people. I have Highway 3 in Ellington Field, so a lot of people in my district, I don't have a number, probably a couple hundred, are being furloughed. But I can tell you, as I said earlier, one man has been furloughed that I know. National Guardsman working there at Ellington Field. He got furloughed yesterday. Had 4 hours to clean out his desk and take his stuff home. He called me up, said, Congressman, keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep fighting.
NASA would probably be considered one of the less essential when you rank the functions of the federal government. You've got to make sure that the Social Security, Medicare, veterans are taken care of, that the military is paid. We have already paid the active duty military. We're trying to make sure that retired military are taken care of. Then we're going to make sure, as Ted Poe has said, that we're going to take care of the law enforcement functions of the federal government. We got to make sure the Bureau of Prisons, the FBI, the DEA, the critical law enforcement functions of the Border Patrol, et cetera, are taken care of. And obviously, we want to make sure that the National Institute of Health, the research arm of the National Institute of Health that does the clinical trials to help save lives with new drugs and new medication, that is already essential. In fact, we're a number of members of Congress are trying to determine who in the White House made the political decision to cut off access to clinical trials for people seeking life-saving medication, because the way the law works is if it is a mandatory program, it's essential, or if it is a life-saving program, it's essential and has to be funded. The White House is making political decisions based on what will help them in the 2014 election rather than what's the right thing to do for the right reasons for the country, and it's very disappointing. And you will be seeing us work on a appropriations bill to make sure that NASA is taken care of, the National Science Foundation, and our investments in the sciences. But right now, we're just focusing on getting the most critical pieces funded first.
And that was Congressman John Culberson.
Hey, Christy. Oh,
thank you.
Hi, Congressman Weber. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. You doing okay?
I'm doing good.
The number is 97% of NASA has been furloughed. Only those who are critical to the space station. I'm trying to find the exact number, if that means 11,000 or 3,000. It's 97% of what was there, but they're keeping those that are critical to the space station. Mm-hmm. And I assume some critical ones there on the grounds and in the different buildings. But I just don't have the exact number of actual bodies it is.
Thank you.
You bet.
If they're operating a spacecraft or responsible for other people's lives, they're obviously going to be essential.
Yeah, one follow-up on that, too. They've got a crew there to pack up the mission control and move it to, I think, Austin, Texas, and they've got a hurricane comes through. So they're prepared for that because they know they've got a storm in the Gulf right now. It looks like it's heading towards Florida, but...